The Guardian.
In 2008, a college graduate became intrigued by the new video sharing website YouTube. Influenced by her teenage experiences in chat rooms, Anne Hirsch set about creating an online video persona that would allow her to explore questions of femininity, extreme publicity, and online communities.
Hi everyone, my name is Caroline, I'm 18, I'm a freshman in upstate New York, and I just got this computer from my parents, and I just thought that I would join the YouTube society, just let everyone know what I'm up to, what I'm into. So I thought that, you know, every week I would post myself dancing, so here's the first week.
Scandalicious is a project that I started in January of 2008, and I was in graduate school for art at the time. YouTube was only about 2 years old, so it was kind of in its infancy. I was going on there just for fun and seeing who was on there, and I started to see two different kind of young women. I saw just a talking head figure, a girl who would get on YouTube and just talk about her life. And then I also saw kind of this young, faceless woman who would dance for the camera in a provocative, sexual way, but she never really spoke, and usually you wouldn't even see her face. You didn't know who she was. So I was seeing this dichotomy between women who were being sexual but not allowing their identities to be known, and women who were showing their identities but not allowing themselves to be sexual. With Scandalicious, I was kind of like, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if I went on to YouTube myself and created a person, or went on as a person who was talking about her life and also being sexual. So kind of combining these two tropes that I was seeing.
What's up? Today I'm gonna be dancing to Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So here we go.
Probably in a typical video, I would be in my bedroom, dressed in some crazy outfit, maybe a little sexy. I would introduce myself and talk about the song that I was about to play, and then I would play a song, and then I would dance to it in a trying to be sexy but really just kind of awkward kind of way. And then in other videos, I would just talk about my life.
Really self-conscious about who I am and the way I look. And I have problems with guys because they just don't like them or trust them or whatever.
Sometimes I would respond to other trends on YouTube. So if a lot of people on YouTube were making a certain kind of video, then I would make that video. Other times, I would definitely invent emotions to kind of elicit the responses I wanted from my viewers. But I think also times when I was emoting different emotions, maybe in my head I said that they were made up, but maybe they were based in something real. So again, it was just kind of like a way to express things I needed to that maybe I was, like, bottling up inside of me.
Why are you watching this? I don't even know. Why would anyone be interested in me? What do I have to offer? Nothing. Nothing.
At the time, I had these utopian ideas that, you know, with YouTube, all of a sudden, before media was very top-down, so films, magazines, TV, that was a few people creating media for the many. And now with YouTube, all of a sudden, you know, the power of presenting our images, that's back in the hands of the people. So now you have like a many-to-many media mode where many people can create media of themselves for many other people. And so I kind of thought, okay, this is a time when, you know, women and minorities and LGBT communities, like we can now present imagery of ourselves and kind of create this whole new world. That was my ideal going into it. And then as time went on and I saw more of what was actually being produced, I found that instead of kind of presenting new ways of representing ourselves as women, women were just replicating the ideas of women that already existed because we kind of didn't know what else to do. And we were like, oh, that person, they're sexy. I want to appear just like them. I want to present myself in that way. And so we kind of had this like cycle of imitation of women imitating sexiness. But the more that you get away from the original idea of sexiness, the more kind of breaks down and you start to see these like cracks and fissures. And I think Caroline Scandalicious, I wanted her to like embody that, this kind of like she's trying very hard to be sexy, but it just kind of breaks down. And it's through that breakdown that you can see the artifice of sexiness itself. I was in graduate school in Syracuse, and Syracuse is a very lonely, sad, cold, desolate place. I think because of that, instead of making art outworld into the world, I kind of like retreated inwards and went into the internet as this like more exciting place than actually the place I was living. And I think also I was kind of a late bloomer in a lot of ways. And so at that age, I kind of was like, whoa, okay, I'm like a sexual being. I'm like a woman. I'm becoming a woman. So for me, Scandalicious, so much of that was also about me finding my way in the world as a young woman and understanding my sexual power, my sexual needs, my sexual desires in the world that didn't feel as scary as actually going out in real life and being kind of this sexualized person in real life, which is very, can be very, very scary. So the internet felt like this safer place for me to express myself sexually. I use the term cam whore to talk about the Scandalicious project. And I think now when we think of cam whore, we, you know, literally think of a woman who's on cam doing some kind of sex show for money. But in 2008, since streaming video, just that was much harder to do at that time because of the technology. So cam whore at that time just meant a girl who, you know, was maybe narcissistic and self-indulgent and just wanted to show herself off on camera and get attention for it. And so I started making all these videos, and after maybe a month or two, they kind of started going viral. And all of a sudden, instead of me just kind of performing for myself into a void, I really had an audience of people who were giving me feedback and commenting and sending me videos. And then the project really became about this community that I was involved in. I really think of the project as having two phases. Kind of the part I've been talking about is what I call the research phase, which was 2008 when I was making these videos, absorbed in this world, learning what it was all about. And then I have the second phase, which is kind of what I call the synthesis phase, which happened in 2009, 2010, where I kind of took this experience, synthesized it into artworks for like art audiences. So I made a one-woman play that basically dramatized the whole experience, recreated a lot of what I was going through and retelling the story for an art audience, and then also made like video installations and video pieces and stuff like that. Especially when I was doing the research part, people were just very confused by the project and they didn't understand it. And it was very contentious. I had one professor say to me, "You're a smart bunny. You should be doing something better than this." And I had another professor say to me I was just like a really great DJ. But there were a few people who supported me and, you know, they saw that I was just doing something that I really had to do. And then there was people who were also scared for me and didn't understand why I was doing it. When I was 12 or 13 years old, I had a relationship with an older 27-year-old man online. And we started off just as friends and then eventually became romantic. We had cyber sex, we had phone sex, although we never met. That happened to me at a young age, and I was so ashamed of it, so embarrassed by that experience, that I had really just buried it so deep into my memory that when I was doing Scandalicious, it didn't even once cross my mind. I didn't even once think about it. It wasn't until maybe like 2011 or something that randomly a curator said to me, I'm thinking of doing a show about children and sexuality. Is there anything that you have that could work for that? And I don't know, just in that instant, I remembered that moment. I was like, oh my God, I did that. I had literally never told a single person about that experience. As I started to remember it and I started to write about it and more came out, I started to realize, oh my God, this experience that I lived when I was 12, 13, I pretty much did a very similar thing at age 22, 23 without even realizing it. I started to see more patterns of just how I was repeating my own maybe damaging self-harm inflicting behavior to myself over time. And that was really weird that I hadn't made that connection when I was doing Scandalicious at all. But I, you know, looking back on all of it, I'm like, okay, there's just something inside of me that loves these kind of secret dark worlds, that is just always dealing with my sexual repression, sexual shame, and has always just found that release for myself on the internet. I mean, I don't know if I was really in control of it either time, you know? I mean, I think with Scandalicious, I started off in control and it just spiraled. It really spiraled to a place where it wasn't in my control at all. I was very embedded in this world. For me, it was very, very genuine. I mean, if you could have seen me, you know, in 2008 when I fell in love online with someone, and I mean, all these feelings I felt were very real. It didn't feel like satire to me. I really see the project as a performance, but mainly as research and really understanding what that YouTube world was like at that time. So I probably spent half my days just on YouTube, messaging with people, talking with people, commenting, making videos. And I didn't really talk about what I was going through so much with my friends. I mean, sometimes in art class, we would critique the project. But really, I was very just absorbed into this world. And then eventually, it got to a point where I was so absorbed, I really had a breakdown and had to just pull out completely.
It's about that time for a fan video, so I'm putting in 4 fan requests in this one. So I hope you guys enjoy. Here we go.
While I was doing Scandalicious, I really wanted to see how far I was willing to go with the project, really test my own limits of my own like repressed sexuality and shame. And so I decided to sell private videos, and one person wanted to buy a video that was nude and obscene, more obscene than stuff that I had been doing. And I agreed, and I made the video and I was sending it to him. And then in the middle of sending it to him, I decided I was freaked out and I didn't want to do it anymore. So I stopped sending it. And he at first was offering me a lot more money to please send the rest, please keep sending it. And I said, no, I wasn't comfortable with it. And then eventually his tone turned. And he said that if I didn't send him the full video, he was going to release the first half of the video, which he was able to extract from what I had already sent him. So basically, he was blackmailing me and threatening me. And over the next few weeks, he continued to harass me and kind of make up lies about himself and say he knew people at Yahoo and he was going to hack me and ruin me and send out this video. And I was really freaked out at the time and had kind of my university scrub me from their website and tried to get rid of all traces of me online. And I was like hiding in my room and really, really scared. And eventually I just ignored him and he went away, although this video is definitely still out there somewhere.
You may have been wondering, hey, Caroline, like, where are you? Where have you been? You haven't made a video in like so long. And I know. And if you haven't gotten the message yet, it's because like I'm done being scandalicious. I just feel...
Yeah, I mean, scandalicious, doing that project completely changed the way I was making art, and it completely defined me as an artist. I mean, before that, I think I felt very lost. I loved art. I knew I wanted to make it, but I hadn't quite found where I belonged in the art world and what I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to do it.
So some of you know that, like, I'm an artist or whatever, and, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, maybe, like, this is my art. Like, I just feel like I came on here and like I'm like looking to explore things. Like, I came on here and I just like wanted to like figure some things out, like some things about myself, some things about like YouTube and the internet and like my body and like sexuality.
I really came to understand that just completely disregarding everything that I believed was art and just completely following my intuition of what I felt I had to do in any moment, that would lead me down the right path.
I feel like I did like a lot of really good research and everything, and I found like a lot of really good things out, and I met a lot of amazing people, and I have a lot of great fans and everything, but I just think that maybe like now it's time for me to go, basically.
You know, doing that project, I was like, there's so many different ways I can make art and be, and it can be messy, and it can be morally ambiguous, and it doesn't have to say something very succinctly. It can be very complicated. Also, I don't have to know what it's about while I'm making it. I think in art school, there's all this pressure when you're making something to say, I am making this thing and this is what it is about and I use these materials in these way for this reason. And I don't think you have to know that right away. What I've always done is I've always done a project and then 2 years later, I understand what it's about and I can contextualize it.
You know, I just wanted to adjust some things, you know? It's like some people maybe like have an issue with like my work and my art because they're like, oh, she's not for real. And it's like, no, I'm not like an elitist art bitch, you know? I'm just like here, like involving myself in the world, in this internet world, and just like understanding the fame whore, you know, like the cam whore, like what is she all about, and like who are these people on here, and like how do we make communities and stuff, and like how is like my image being represented and used, and like what am I doing here, like what pleasure do like I gain from this, you know?
I wish every day that I was an artist who just could make paintings. You know, the art world doesn't know what to do with an artist like me, because I'm not making necessarily tangible things, and it's very hard to explain a lot of what I do, and people just like things that can be wrapped up very nicely. Here is this concept, and here is the object that represents this concept. But I think with me, the people who really get into my work are the people who do a lot of work understanding it. And I often feel very guilty about that my work is not always easy to understand, that it does take effort and time. But that's just all I can do, really.
Oh, and I just also wanted to say that, like, you know, whatever happens, like, stuff might happen soon with me. And, like, whatever happens, you know that I am real and that I'm here. And that it's, you know, it's all just is like for the sake of stuff and just like exploring life. Okay, so here we go.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.